Psalm 136, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for His mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for His mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel His servant, for His mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. In response to the preaching, we sing from Psalter 378, the Psalter selection based on Psalm 136. And the title of that psalter selection is The Unfailing Mercy of God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text this afternoon comes from Psalm 136, the first three verses. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. If you had a choice, would you spend time with someone who had an attitude of gratitude, or with someone who was in a state of ungratefulness? When you give a gift to someone, what kind of response do you appreciate? Do you appreciate a response of gratitude? Or do you like it when someone is ungrateful and maybe even complaining? Now, in a way, these are rather silly questions, aren't they? Because all of us enjoy being surrounded by those who have an attitude of gratitude. Now, it's true that a grateful man or woman is like a breath of fresh air in this world which is so contaminated by bitterness and discontent and complaining. People complain about their husband, about their wife, about their kids, about their in-laws, about their boss, about their minister, and so on. Many people today are characterized by ingratitude rather than gratitude. And isn't it true that thankful people are rather refreshing? They are like life-giving springs in our lives. Individuals we enjoy being friends with because they give, because they encourage, because they compliment, they delight in us. An ungrateful person is depressing, demanding of others, presumptuously using people, unhappy with life, complaining and bitter. And what impact does this have upon us? What impact does your presence have on others around you? Are they refreshed and encouraged? Are they blessed by your thankful spirit? Or are they weighed down by your negative, ungrateful words and attitudes. Listen to how one author distinguishes between those whose life overflows with gratitude and those who are ungrateful. And after distinguishing between the grateful and the ungrateful, searching questions are asked by which we can evaluate our own attitude. There are five of these characteristics. The first is, a grateful person is a humble person, while ingratitude reveals a proud heart. You more often manifest a humble, grateful spirit or a proud, self-serving, ungrateful heart. Second, a grateful heart is a full heart, while an unthankful heart is an empty one. Are you more prone to focus on what you have or what you don't have, rather than upon the blessings which are far greater than what you deserve? Do you have a full heart that's overwhelming with thankfulness, or does your heart have a leaky valve, and does it leak out all the blessings which God is continually pouring in so that you feel that you have to continually be refilled? Third, people with a grateful heart are easily content, while ungrateful people are subject to bitterness and discontent. As a rule, are you content with what God provides for you? Or do you find yourself resenting difficult circumstances or people and becoming demanding or depressed when others fail to meet your expectations? Fourthly, a grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by thankful words, while an unthankful heart will manifest itself in murmuring and complaining. Do you spend time counting and recounting your blessings or your problems? Are you known by your family, by your husband and by your wife, by your friends and other members of the congregation as a complaining or as a thankful person? Are you known as one who will generally speak positively and thankfully of others, or are you negative and critical of others? Are your words generally upbuilding, or are they destructive? Fifthly, thankful people are refreshing, life-giving springs, while unthankful people pull down others with them into the stagnant pools of their selfish, demanding, unhappy ways. What impact does your spirit have on those around you? Are they refreshed and encouraged by your thankful spirit? Are you like a breath of fresh air to those who you meet in your day? Do people like to spend time with you, or are they weighed down by your negative, ungrateful words and attitude? Are they weary of your constant criticism, harsh words, or demeaning spirit? Two kinds of people, grateful and ungrateful. What kind of person are you? What does the answer to all these questions reveal about your heart? We all know what kind of person we should be. We all know what kind of person we want to be. But what kind of person are you? The reality of the situation is that probably at times each one of us expresses gratefulness, but in other contexts we are ungrateful. But what is it that dominates your life? Is your life one in which, in general, you express your thankfulness? Or is your life one which is characterized by ingratitude and manifests by a bitter and complaining spirit? See, these are very important considerations. These are important considerations for every day of our life. And why is an attitude of gratitude so important? Because gratitude, you see, is a byproduct and a response to the redeeming grace of God. Someone who is murmuring and complaining, someone whose life is characterized by ingratitude, must not understand the gospel very well. Because when we understand the gospel, then we will very practically become increasingly grateful in our lives. When we understand what we deserve because of our sin, which is absolute condemnation, and when we understand what we have deserved, which is undeserved grace and mercy, then we will display this overwhelming gratitude to God. Let me repeat that. When we understand that what we deserve because of our sin, which is absolute condemnation of God. And when we understand what we have received, the undeserved grace and mercy of God, then we will display overwhelming gratitude to God. Isn't that true? Isn't that exactly the point of Psalm 136, and particularly our text, verses 1, 2, and 3? True thankfulness is grounded, you see, in understanding God's mercy towards us. Listen how the psalm begins. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Three times calling us to give thanks to the Lord. And then notice how it ends. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. And 26 times this psalm repeats that phrase. For His mercy endures forever. For His mercy endures forever. For His mercy endures forever. One's at the end of each verse. The first part of the verse, it speaks of the character or the work of God. And then the last part always ends, for His mercy endures forever. And so the psalm is clearly teaching that true thankfulness flows from a heart which understands the undeserved mercy of God for His people. Now, there are many times in Israel's history when she took the words of this particular psalm on her lips to sing to the Lord, to express her thankfulness to God for His blessings. In 1 Chronicles 16, when King David brought up the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, the Israelites thanked the Lord for His mercy by singing, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." In 2 Chronicles 7, at the dedication of the temple during the reign of King Solomon, we read in verse 3, when all the children of Israel saw how that the fire came down and the glory of the Lord came upon the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." In 2 Chronicles 20, the armies of King Jehoshaphat, they sing during their victorious campaign against their enemies. And when he says he had consulted the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of His holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." In Ezra 3, at the foundation of the laying of the second temple, the people were singing, as you can read in verse 11, that they sang and giving thanks unto God because He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the temple of the Lord was laid. And these are some examples when Israel took these words upon their lips and they praised God. They thanked Him for His mercy towards them. Give thanks unto God, for His mercy endures forever. This psalm actually outlines four ways or reason in which the unfailing mercy of God is revealed to us and why we should be thankful to Him. In verses 1, 2, and 3, He exhorts us to give thanks unto God. Why? For the simple fact that God is God, that He is the One who is good, that He is the God of gods, that He is the One who is the Lord of lords. He is God, and therefore we should give Him thanks. Verses 4 through 9, He speaks of the works of God in creation. He alone does great wonders. He's the One who made the heavens. He's the One who laid out the earth. He's the One who made the great lights in the sky, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night. This is a display of the mercy of God. But then He goes on to God's salvation, His redemptive history. In verses 10 through 22, He describes how He set the people free from their bondage to the Egyptians and brought them through the wilderness even into the promised land, destroying those kings which were before them and giving them the land as their inheritance. And He says this is a sign of the mercy of God. And in the last verses He speaks of God's care and keeping of our body and our soul. He remembers us in our lowly state. He rescued us from our enemies. He gives food to all flesh. speaking here of the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God remembers us in His lowly state. He sent His Savior down to rescue us from our sin, to deliver us from our bondage to sin, to Satan, and to set us free. And in every verse of this psalm, He is clearly stating that we are to be thankful to God for all the blessings that He has given to us, the blessings manifest to us in creation, in salvation, and in His providential care. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. And so the psalmist doesn't reflect very much upon the material blessings that we enjoy, not upon our present circumstances or the trials that we have, but he focuses upon God and what God has done in creation, what God has done in salvation, and what God continues to do in caring and keeping for us. All these things are a display of the undeserved mercy of God towards us as people. Do you know what mercy means? What is mercy? What's the meaning of mercy? We've already spoken of it, but it can be defined as undeserved favor, undeserved loving kindness, undeserved goodness towards us. It is giving something to us which we do not deserve, which is not our right. And this already teaches us why some people are ungrateful, doesn't it? People live ungrateful lives because they think that they deserve the blessings that they are experiencing. And ingratitude, it leads to grumbling and complaining about one's personal circumstances because one so quickly thinks that they deserve so much better. When we are not thankful to God for His blessings, we begin to think that we have a right to these things. And we begin to complain more and more and more when we do not receive what we think that we deserve. But on the other hand, if we think we deserve nothing, or even more seriously, if we think and know that we deserve to be condemned, we deserve to be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, then we'll have a grateful attitude about just about everything. If we think we deserve nothing, then we will have a grateful heart about everything. The understanding that one needs mercy makes one thankful when they have received mercy. And not understanding this truth is what leads to much of the ungratefulness, not only in the church, but in society in general. Because doesn't someone feel and act ungrateful even when they're blessed because they think that they deserve these blessings and not curses? This attitude is so prevalent in society, isn't it? People think, well, we have a right to good health. We have a right to a good job. We have a right to a nice house. We have a right to a nice car. And then, well, we have a right to be respected by others. We have a right to receive love from my husband. I have the right to be followed by my wife. I have a right to free time, to relaxation. And then when we don't get what we think we have the right to, then we deserve, we complain, and we become bitter. But knowing that we are undeserving of the smallest of God's blessing will mean as a result that we are thankful to Him for the smallest blessing we receive. Trusting God means that we can be thankful even in the midst of affliction. Because we know that it comes from the hand of a loving Father. It comes from the hand of the One who loves us and who cares for us and who delights in mercy and in caring for us and compassion for us. We might then know of how we experience the mercy of God, the blessings of God, how God has shown us mercy. He's revealed that throughout redemptive history. Our first parents think of Adam and Eve. They ate of the forbidden fruits in the Garden of Eden. And they thereby rebelled against the Lord. And they became at that moment the objects of God's eternal wrath. And He would have been perfectly just in coming down to the garden and consuming them in His righteous indignation. But instead, what does he do? He shows mercy. He says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And then he comes with that sweet promise, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And when the imagination of every man's heart has become evil, the Lord remembered mercy. He instructed Noah to build an ark on which he and his family were saved, and they began anew after the flood. And the Lord came with this promise, I will never again destroy the world. I will never destroy every living thing as I have done this time. And he sealed that promise with the rainbow. And then he comes to Abraham in the land of the Chaldeans as he was worshiping pagan gods. And he remembered mercy and he said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great and you will be a blessing. And so God established his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then as the people were in bondage in Egypt, he remembered mercy. He sends in Moses as the Old Testament mediator that he might bring them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and lead them into the promised land. He sends Moses in that he might bring them out. And the psalmist recounts this redemptive history, showing how mercy has been displayed every step of the way to the promised land. And congregation, this is a picture of how the Lord redeems his people, being faithful to his covenant. And every Christian should see himself in this redemptive story as they reflect on how God has shown to them mercy. When they were in bondage to sin and to darkness, God sent not a type or a shadow, but he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sinners like you and like me. And the Lord Jesus, remembering mercy, he went the way of the cross. And he was upon that cross that he bore our sins. And even as he was upon the cross, think of how he spoke of those who crucified him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He showed mercy. And the psalmist, knowing these truths, said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Have you experienced the mercy of God, receiving forgiveness of your sins through the finished work of Jesus Christ? If we understand how undeserving we are of God's mercy, particularly as it is revealed in the Savior, then will not we be thankful to him, overwhelmingly so? So if we're going to nurture this attitude of gratitude, we need to focus upon the Lord who is the giver of all good gifts in creation, in redemption, and even today in providence. How good and right it is to express our thankfulness to God every day of our life. See, this is the reason God has made us, for the praise and the glory and the honor of his name. God has sent his Son to redeem us, that he would have worshipers of his name. And so one thing that you can be sure of, that unthankful people are unaware of what they really deserve. Unthankful people are unaware of what they really deserve. Ungrateful people feel that they deserve so much more. While grateful people, they think they deserve nothing at all. Unthankful people, they forget God. And they even despise and deny God. Ungrateful people, they become proud and vain and foolish and wicked. People who live in a state of ungratefulness become so self-focused and so self-absorbed that they live for none other but themselves. And so we need to live a rightly focused life, living a life of humility, living a life of thankfulness before God for all of his blessings towards us. And then even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, we can live in humility before God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job was able to say. And so when we meet someone who is overwhelmed with thankfulness, especially for his undeserved mercies, then we see how this person themselves is reflecting the glory and the praise of God. A thankful person is one who is able to see, even through the darkest clouds, the loving hand of the Father, supporting them and guiding them and upholding them in the midst of their trouble. What a joy it is to be with such thankful people. Blessed is the family. Blessed is the congregation. Blessed is the country. Blessed is the workplace where people are thankful. Being mindful of God's mercies will mean that we'll be thankful to God for undeserved blessings. All people who refuse to acknowledge that they are undeserving as sinners will lead ungrateful lives. Unless there is this conviction of sin, and unless there is this understanding of our own unworthiness by nature, unless there is repentance, unless there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no hearty and holy and happy thanksgiving before God. But when there is conviction of one's sin in their life, when there is a conversion, when there is a turning to God, there will be joyful commitment unto the Lord our God. And there will be loving service of others. Because as we receive, we delight to give. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks unto God. Should we not do so? Should we not be truly sorrowful and repentant every time we are unthankful? I reflected on the need for thankfulness in our lives. And isn't ingratitude actually one of the most serious sins against God? Isn't ingratitude actually one of the most serious sins of a Christian against God? Because gratitude is born of a heart that takes time to count up the undeserved mercies of God. We are ungrateful only when we haven't grasped this. When we haven't grasped it. Think of the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. As they were set free from the bondage to the Egyptians, they were in the wilderness. And what was the characteristic of these people as they were in the wilderness? Children, you know what it was like. Generally, they were bitter. They were complaining people. They were murmuring people. So much so that at one point God wanted to destroy them. But Moses intervened as the mediator. He stood between the people and between the Lord. And he committed himself, saying, take my life and let them be. Moses was a picture of the New Testament mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because rather than consume us, the Lord God is able to show us mercy. Why is the Lord God able to show us mercy? Why is the Lord able to spare us? Why is He able to lead us even into the promised land, into heaven itself? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who stood in our place. He's the one for that 3 hours of darkness on the cross bore the eternal wrath of God for our sins so that God could be merciful towards us. So that we could again be restored to favor with God. So that we could be at peace with God. So that we could have access to God. So that we can enjoy all the blessings of the gospel. You remember as the people of Israel were brought into the promised land, that repeatedly they were encouraged and even commanded to remember. Joshua told them to remember. Remember, he said, remember that you were once delivered from the land of Egypt. Remember that you received these blessings from the Lord because of His undeserved mercy towards you. Remember that you were in bondage in Egypt and how I, the Lord says, delivered you from there with a mighty hand and brought you through the wilderness into the promised land. Do not forget. And remember to teach these things unto your children. Remember to tell them of the manifold mercies of God, lest you forget and serve pagan gods. And that's exactly what happened can read about it in Judges 2, how the people, after Joshua died, they no longer remembered what God had done. And they began to serve idol gods. They departed from the Lord God, and they served the gods of the Canaanites. They were living ungrateful lives. And so we too, we need to remember. We need to remember, not in an Old Testament sense, remembering how the Lord brought the Israelites through the wilderness into the promised land, but we need to remember that we are set free from our bondage to sin by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered and He died for our sin, and we are told to remember who we were. Remember who we were. And then remember the mercy of the Lord which has been shown to you. Remember that in Christ you have been redeemed from your bondage to sin and to Satan. Remember that God has set you free through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember, your heart should overflow with gratitude towards Him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen.